Good day, podcast audience. This is that guy, and this is that show. Today, I'm going to do a podcast that is directed at my branch in Columbus, Ohio. How is it that as a steward, you refuse to file grievances for members? How do we get to that point? I'll tell you how we get to that point in a minute, but I'm going to share with you a personal story that shows the level of representation mail handlers in Columbus, Ohio, the level of representation they are currently getting. On November 12th, the Columbus, Ohio Post Office, as per the sign posted on the union bulletin board, was officially over the cap. Now, the sign on the board did not say they were over the cap. The sign on the board showed effective November 12th, the complement, total regulars and total number of MHAs. When you do the math, you find that the percentage is about 27%, 27.5%. Well, the cap is 24%, 24.5, excuse me. When a office goes over the cap, I think everybody who reads the union contract understands that if they are over the cap, the overtime desire list should not be deprived of overtime. When you allow an overtime desire list person to work 6 days because they're directed not to work seven, but you allow non-list personnel to work, and the fact that the post office in Columbus, Ohio is currently over the cap of MHAs, how can a union refuse to file that grievance? See, that only happens in Columbus, Ohio. And let me also say this. I work on tour two. So when I went to file my grievance, I filed my grievance with the union steward who works on the bundle sorter on tour two. We went into the union office, and I noticed that instead of him beginning to type and fill out the standard grievance form, he waited for the branch president to come in or get involved in the conversation. Well, let me say this, being a former branch presidents don't really file step one grievances. See, that's the steward's job, as I see it. Now, they can file a grievance, but that's what your stewards are there for. And I did not ask to see the branch president. I spoke to the steward on tour two bundle sorter, and we agreed to meet in the office. And when I got in the office, rather than do his job, we had conversation between the three of us. And I got to say to you, that conversation was dismal at best. When your branch does not understand and recognize the fact that when the post office goes over the cap, and I keep saying the term over the cap. What over the cap means, and let me explain that. It's like a salary cap. It's a cap on complement. You can only have so many people at given times of the year. It's kind of like the NBA salary cap. And I like this analogy I'm going to give you because the NBA has a salary cap. If you go over that salary cap, there's a penalty that you have to pay, but you can go over the salary cap. In the post office, because there are two particular accounting periods that the post office is authorized to go over the cap, they can go over the cap in those two accounting periods. But if going over the cap, they deprive the overtime desire list of overtime opportunities, then even though or although they are authorized to go over the cap, there's still a penalty that they pay for being over the cap. And for some reason, Columbus, Ohio Union refuses to understand that. They are of the impression that because they are over the cap and this is an exception period, that no harm, no foul. I don't know any other way to try to help them understand that that's not how this should be handled. And for a second, I thought it was just another let's show Ken that he's wrong. Well, in the most modest posture I could possibly muster up, I said to you and that whole branch, you can stop that because you're not on that level to show me wrong. You do not spend enough time in your craft. You don't have the background that Ken Hodge has that you should even spend any time trying to show me wrong. And I know that sounds hard, but that's just the fact, Jack. I am always, always in a position to share what I know with whoever wants to know it. And the reason I say I thought at first it was another attempt to show me wrong, but then I changed that because another member in Columbus, Ohio, I don't want to mention names, has said the same steward refused to file a grievance for him. Now, I want you to know that I kind of make a lot of noise when I walk, probably because I'm overweight, right? No, but I try to do things in decency and in order. Now, just so you know, I sent the local president an email today, and I explained to him what I'm telling you right now. So I recognize that there may be an issue, but all I can do right now is report that to his boss. And here's another bit of news most people don't know. Do you realize that all the stewards in every branch work directly for the local president, not the branch president? Read your constitution. The branch president is elected by the people. Sometimes the people make bad mistakes, but nonetheless, the branch president is elected by the people. That is the stand-up representative that's supposed to knock down doors to make sure the people who elected that person are protected, are being protected. All your stewards in every branch are appointed by the local president. And if you didn't know that, or if you did not know that, now you know that. This is why, if I have, or if you should have, a problem with a steward, then the local president is who you should report that problem to, not your branch president. I'm just putting it out there for you. I'm going to take a little sidebar here and give my branch a little bit of Kenny Hodge 2000. Currently, the branch takes a position that they have to show where a MHA was working in your area on the day you were not allowed to work overtime. And that is just, that doesn't even make sense if you understand scheduling and complement. Branch, what you should be looking at is, were there any MHAs at work that day that could have stayed home to create that overtime opportunity for that overtime desireless person? I know you are not accustomed to thinking anything other than, well, if the MHA was on straight time, how was that an issue? Well, the issue is, the memo said, over the cap, the overtime desireless, there can be no detriment. Does that make sense? You're arguing from a position that makes no sense when the union tries to justify or help management justify being over the cap but not maxing out your overtime desireless. Let's get back to the podcast. But there was another member in Columbus, Ohio, who had an issue where he was awarded a bid and they wouldn't allow him to fill the bid in spite of the fact that he had the medical documentation that was required. Now, again, yes, I'm shining a light on my branch because it frustrated me the manner in which you treated my situation. So I'm just going to share this story also. Again, limited duty person coming back to full duty, was awarded the bid. Implant Support would put him on the bid. He was the successful bidder, and there was a date that he should have started the bid. This is what your union advised him. And listen to me, I'm sorry, I can't make this up. This is the people that represent you. Somebody from that union told that mail handler, once everything was settled, that he should just be happy that he's being placed in the bid, and never mind following a grievance, and would not follow a grievance for him to be paid his level 5 for the 2 weeks that he was actually awarded the bid, but the post office would not let him work the bid. This was just told to this mail handler, just let it go. Let me tell you something. I want to say, if I was your local president, I'd spend so much time in that office that this would never happen. But nonetheless, as a union body whose sole purpose is to defend the rights of members, I don't understand the direction Columbus, Ohio branch is headed right now. And I say that with my chest. And I said it hard. I wasn't intending to be hurtful, but I wanted to be truthful. And what I said on this show tonight, there are a lot of members who feel that but don't say it, or they express it to each other. So I say to my branch, your members expect more than what you are providing for them currently. And all you have to do is just apply yourself more. Because you got to think about something, folks. A union steward in Columbus, Ohio, gets 2 hours a day. Now, during those 2 hours, you're still paid by the post office. And you get compensated back from the union. So, in other words, you're getting paid from two different parties for the same 2 hours of work. But yet, it appears to a lot of your members that during those 2 hours, you are not doing enough to benefit the craft. And if I'm wrong, please do not hesitate to let me know. And one other point that I would really, really like to stress. Members, please do not hear this podcast and think this podcast is being told to you for my benefit for running for branch president. I want to tell you now, as emphatically as I possibly can, I have no desire to be your branch president. I say again, I have no desire to be your branch president. This podcast is being told to you to hopefully wake you up, and maybe you can insist to your union that they do a little more for you. That's the purpose of tonight's show. Listen, this is Kenny Hodge. My podcast today was directed at my branch because I don't understand how you can fail to file grievances for members. To me, you're there to help the member, not help the manager. I'll talk to you when I talk to you. This is the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast, and I'm going to always stay in a position to keep you informed.